and spend some time just letting God speak to us, doing it together. So I'm glad to be here. And again, we're in the middle of a series that we started here a couple of weeks ago called Building a Strong Christian. And if you come here to Cedar Creek much at all, you hear us talk about this. We talk about how God wants to have a relationship with us, and that's really what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who has a relationship with God. That relationship, God created us to be with Him, to be His, and God uses all kinds of pictures or words to describe what that looks like. So it's like a father and his child, or a husband and a wife, or two friends, or a master and a servant. All of these different relational pictures that God uses to describe what it looks like for us to be with Him, and that's God's desire. God made us to be with Him, and a Christian is someone who has begun that relationship with God. And then once that happens, we can grow in it. We can become a stronger Christian, if you will. And God uses, again, a picture that we understand. He says when we begin a relationship with Him, it's like someone having a baby, and that little baby is born physically into a family, and that baby doesn't know a whole lot, can't do a whole lot. But as time goes by, that baby is taught, that baby eats well, and it grows. It becomes stronger. It becomes more skilled. It can communicate. That child grows up in the family. God says it's a lot like that. When we come to know Him, when we begin a relationship with God, God says, it's, you know, spiritually like you're a little bit of a baby. But as you spend time in this life, we grow as a Christian. And so that's what this series is about, is becoming that strong Christian. Now, there's all kinds of things that go into that, obviously, and we talk about that a lot, all of the different things that looks like, the way that plays itself out. But what this series is about is laying some foundations, if you will, on which we can build this thing called a strong Christian. And we compared it to building a building. And what do you have to do? Well, you know, we get excited about the finished product, and this room has these cool cabinets, and this room has these fixtures, and that's good and that's necessary. But before you get there, we have a blueprint, and you have a foundation. And on that foundation, according to that blueprint, you build the house. Same with being a Christian. There are some foundational things, some blueprints that we have to understand and get into place so that we can become that strong Christian. That's what this series is about. What are those foundational things? Last week we talked about humility and how that's one of those things that God says that's the beginning in so many ways of us becoming a strong Christian. And maybe you could say it in the negative, and I said this last week, it is impossible to become a strong Christian if you're not humble. It is impossible. It's not possible for you to be a strong Christian unless you're growing in this thing called humility. If you weren't here, or even if you were and want to hear that again, those messages are online. Today, we're going to talk about a second one, a second one of these foundational things that we have to have in place in our life if we want to be a strong Christian. And what that thing is love. And today, we're going to talk about love. Now, just a quick plug, we do this same series at Friday nights. We have a service on Friday nights and two here on Sunday mornings, and it's the same series. It's just a different service of Cedar Creek here, but different men teach at those Friday night services, and so what happens is when you have the same topic but different guys speaking about it, you get a little different feel. And that's certainly true this week. Matt Novacek did the message on Friday night, and we have very similar outlines, very similar points, and yet the feel of Matt's is very different because Matt is a very emotional guy. And so it came across in a very powerfully emotional way, and you might want to listen to that. Today, what I'm going to do is maybe a little bit more, I tend to be a little bit more analytical, and so I'm going to just kind of lay some things out that I think we can understand that's going to help us. But it's a cool thing to be able to listen to both of those messages. So listen to today, that's great. You might want to listen to Friday night as well. Just a quick plug, too, we're working on a real kind of a fun thing where we're developing a podcast, which I don't even know what it is, but we're going to do this thing where the two teachers get together, we talk about it, and then you can listen to that online too, so you can listen to the two guys speak about the two different messages. All right, all that to say, to lead into what we're going to talk about today, how love is a foundational thing. We have to have it if we're going to be a strong Christian. Now, there's a couple of verses that lay that out that I just want to look at here quickly. why I say that love is a foundational thing. And here's one of them in Matthew chapter 22. Somebody asked Jesus, hey, what's the most important thing in all of Christianity? At that time, it wasn't Christianity, but he said, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And so basically what this guy was asking Jesus is all of the stuff that God has said so far, everything that's been written down, all of the prophets, all of these ways that God has communicated, what's the most important thing that God has told us? That's what this guy was asking Jesus. And Jesus answered him. He says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hinge on these two commands. All the law and the prophets hinge on these two commands. Love. Love God, love people, and everything else that God has communicated. All the stuff that God has said. This is important. Be sure to do this. Don't do this. See yourself this way. Watch out for this. All of those things, he says, hinge on. Other versions say hang on. Other versions say depend upon. But I like hinge. Hinge on these two commands. In other words, love God, love people. That's the doorway, maybe, that opens up so that we can become that strong Christian. All of these things God wants us to do, all of those ways that it looks, to be kind, to be self-controlled, to be courageous, all of those things that God talks about, the entryway, the door into it is love. And it swings on that, and that opens the door for us to grow. And I like that word hinge. When I was working as a lawyer, I had an office in a little town called Exland, and my office was an old post office. And it was an hour and a half away, and so I would drive up there every day. And on the back door of this office was this, the back door was a mammoth steel door. I mean, it was huge, thick steel, tall, just gargantuan door. I have no idea why it was on. I guess in the post office they, I don't know, but there was this mammoth door on the back of this post office, and it was a joy to open. It was so heavy, and it had one of those, you see that one there with the, there's a term for it, the thing that opens and closes the door. It was like a tank. It was this beautiful door, and when you opened it, it was so smooth, and when you closed it, it would go, just suck in. It was just, oh, it was a joy just to open and close this door. It really, truly was. It was fun. But once in a while, I would end up there without my key, and I had to try to get in to this, to my office. Well, somehow, for some reason, they put this huge door on, but they had the hinges on the outside, so I could take the hinges off. I could pop the pins and get in. So once or twice, I had to do that. But let me tell you something. When I took that door off the hinges, it was a horrible thing. It weighed probably 350 pounds, and it was hanging up, and it would get sideways, and I would be pulling it, and I couldn't lift it back up. When that door was on the hinges, it was beautiful, and everything worked so well. When you took it off the hinges, it was just a burden. I think there's a picture there for us. When we understand, I think that that's what God is saying here, this thing called love, somehow when we have that in us, when love is true of us, being a Christian, it just works. It just kind of opens and closes. Without love, it's just a burden. It's just heavy and hard, and it doesn't work well. It doesn't work right. Love, according to Jesus, is foundational. It's the hinge that all of this other stuff, being a strong Christian, hinges on. When we're doing it in love, it works right. When we're doing it without love, it doesn't work right, and it's just a burden. There's another passage that helps us to understand, I think, how foundational love is, and it's, again, a famous one in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you've ever been to a wedding, or if you've been to many weddings, you've probably heard this passage. It's the famous love chapter, and it explains what love is. But it starts with kind of this, laying out the foundations of why is love so important. And it says this, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. There are some powerful statements there. He says, if I have all of these skills, if I have great faith, faith that just honors God so much that I can say to this mountain, be moved, and it happens. if I can prophesy and God speaks through me, if I have all of these strong Christian skills, but I'm not operating out of love, I gain nothing. I'm worth nothing. It doesn't mean anything. What he's saying here is that love is what makes being a strong Christian meaningful. You can be a strong Christian if that were possible, but if you're not operating out of love, it lacks any meaning. Again, it's a foundational thing. This thing called love is so important. It not only opens the door to being a strong Christian, but it makes being a strong Christian meaningful. Without love, it's just a burden, and it's nothing. With love, it works right, and it's powerful. Love is foundational to being a strong Christian. It's the beginning of it. It's the door that opens up so that we can become a strong Christian, and then it's what makes us powerful, what makes it worth something. So the question then becomes, well, what is it? Okay, what is love? And that's just kind of the age-old question, isn't it? I go through these messages with my wife when I get a chance, and I give her the, 2-minute rundown. And I got this far in the message, and she stopped me and said, well, what is love? Well, that's a good question. And so I was hoping you could tell me what is love. No, I mean, we think about it, and we get so much information about it. You ask the question, what is love? Well, and it's all kinds of things. There's not one answer to that. Is love an emotion? Yes. It is. It's a feeling. It's a attraction or a motivation. Is love an action? Yes, it is. It's I'm doing something. Is love a choice? Yes, it is. Sometimes it's a choice where I just have to choose to be this way, to think this way. Is love a perspective? How I see myself compared to you? Yes, it's all of those things. And sometimes it's one, and other times it's another one. Sometimes it's two of them together, sometimes it's two other ones. It can be a bit confusing trying to describe what love is because it's so many kind of different various things. It's different facets of the same thing, but it can kind of be hard to understand. And then when is it an emotion, action, choice, perspective? It's all those things. But then we have to ask the question, well, how does it work? Okay, that it's those things, but how does it work then? I mean, we've heard the word tough love, right? Where, all right, you need something, and I love you enough to do it, even though it's unpleasant, and you might not want me to do it. Is that how love works? Well, yeah, sometimes that's how love works. But then you've heard the term unconditional love, where it's, well, I'm going to be loving towards you, and I'm going to have affection towards you, regardless of how you act, regardless of what you do. Is that how love works? Well, yeah, sometimes. There's romantic love. That between a husband and a wife. There's brotherly love between siblings or friends. How does love work? Well, it's all of those things. And at different times, it's different ones of those things. And sometimes it's two of them together. And it can. There's just a lot that goes into this, isn't there? What is love? Well, it's all of these different things. How does love work? Well, all of these different ways. And then you ask the question, well, who do I love? Where does my love go? Well, it says I'm supposed to love God, all right? Well, how do I do that? Certainly God doesn't need tough love from me, does he? I mean, no. So I'm supposed to love God, but what's that look like? Well, I'm supposed to love my wife as well, as Christ loved the church. Okay, so there's a kind of love. I'm supposed to somehow love myself, because he says love your husbands, love your wives as you love yourself. We love each other. We love our family. We love our neighbor, Jesus said. Love your neighbor. So love is all of these things that plays itself out in all of these different ways to all of these different people. And then some combination of that, and it changes from time to time. It's not one thing. The way that love works, the way that you and I are supposed to love, is just like, it's kind of like at the end of the Mississippi River. You know, the Mississippi River starts in one place, but down at the end, it's just like it spreads out. And it's all of these little things going and twisting back and forth. Is that the Mississippi River? Yeah. And is that the Mississippi River? Yeah. Is that it over there? Yeah. And it's just like, wah! It can be confusing. Love can be that way. Love, the way that love plays itself out in your life and mine is kind of like that. All of these different things that we have to try to figure out. And it can get difficult. And sometimes when we're trying to figure out what love is, we ask all these questions and they can get very confusing. What I'd like to do is to take it back to the source. Just like the Mississippi River, it comes out in all these different places, and yet it starts in one. At the very beginning, it's just one thing, very understandable, very clear, and then it plays itself out in all kinds of different ways. We're going to walk back to the source of that. When we talk about love, we're going to take it back today for just a few minutes to the beginning, to the source, and try to figure that out so that we can have it play out well in our lives, okay? Now, to do that, I'm going to read a passage. And it's a little bit longer of a passage. It's not terribly long. It's, I think, 13 verses. And it's in 1 John, way toward the end of the Bible, chapter 4, verse 8. And this is what it says here. Not verse 8. Chapter 4, verses 7 through 19. That's what I'm going to... 8 is in there, but we're going to read some others too. So 1 John 4, verses 7 through 19. I'm just going to read this, and then we're going to look at some different things, okay, to try to help us get back to the source of this. Not try to look at every, you know, all of the permutations of what love is and how it plays itself out. That can be confusing. We try to walk it back to the source so that we can understand and let it flow. You know, the Mississippi River gets to where it's supposed to go, and all those things happen when the source is flowing. We're going to get back to the source and let that flow, and hopefully that'll help us, okay? So I'm going to read this, and we're going to walk through it. So here we go. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 19. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. All right, talks about love in there a lot. And I want to just kind of look at that a little bit, because I think it helps us to take this thing back to the source again. I mean, it tells us to love each other. It tells us to live in love. It tells us all these things that we can think. But I think within this little passage here, we see some high points. We see some things that can help us to understand, well, how does that happen? How do I practically make that true in my life? And it starts with this. Here's the first thing I think. If we're going to understand what love is, we start with this. And it says it twice in this passage that God is love. He says it in verse 16, just that very clear, unequivocal statement, God is love. He says it in verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. What does that mean? Well, it means that when God acts lovingly, it's not something he has to choose to do. I don't get up every morning and choose the color of my hair. It just is what it is, because inside of me is something that makes my hair this color. Inside of God, if God has DNA, Matt said this on Friday, I thought it was a good point. God's not physical like we are, but if he had DNA, his DNA, he'd have the love gene in there. It's just inside of him. He doesn't have to think about it. He doesn't have to work at it. It just is what it's. He is pure love. God is love. Different than you and I. We need to choose to do it. We can do it or not do it. We can have to wonder what it is sometimes. God doesn't. God is love. That's, again, a powerful statement. Not... it's pretty clear, and it's very, very powerful, I think, that God is love. And so that's the beginning of it. If we want to know what love is, that's where we start, because God is love. But then here in 1 John chapter 4, it says something else. God is love, and our love, the love that you and I have, or the love in the world, starts there. God is love, and any love we see in this world starts there. Our love starts there. In verse 10 in 1 John 4, it says this, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." Oh, wait a minute, now stop and think for a second. This is love. He's saying, okay, love in the world, love as we see it, love as it plays itself out in the world. This is what it is. It's not what I do. It's not me expressing love to you or you expressing love to me. This is love in this world, that God expresses love to us. Does that make sense? Where are we at so far? God is love, and the love we see in the world starts with God expressing it to you and I. This is love. Not that we love, but that God loves. So God is love, and all of the love we see in the world starts there with God expressing it to us. And then the last thing is in verse 19, says, "We love because he first loved us." So God is love, and he expresses it to me, and then what happens? It flows out from me to the world around me. God is love. He expresses love to you, and it flows out from you to the world around you. Love, if we're going to understand it and if we're going to express it, it's this, that God loves me first. God loves. God is loving and he loves me and he expresses it to me. God is loving and he loves you and he expresses it to you. And as you feel that, it flows out of you and you love other people. So here's the logical conclusion I come from. As I read that passage, it's this: if you want to love, you must know and experience God's love. If you want to be a loving person, you must know and experience God's love for you. If you want to love the people around you, you must first be loved. If you want to love well, learn to be loved well by God. I think that's where we're at here. Love begins with God. It's natural. It flows out of him. He pours it into me, and then it comes out of me to the world around me. But it starts there. If you want to love, if you want to be a loving person, you don't try harder to love the people around you. You first try hard to be loved well. And that gives you the ability and the understanding to do this. Does that make sense? You know, we could stop there. We're not gonna. But we could stop right there. If you want to love, you must know and experience God's love for you. The first step in being a loving person is being loved by God. That's the first step. And according to that verse, that last one, we love because God first loved us. I think we can say it the other way around too. If you are not experiencing, knowing and experiencing God's love, your ability to love others is terribly, terribly compromised. It's just not going to, it's, you've taken the door off the hinge and you're going to fight it. But God loving you, you knowing that, you experiencing it, puts that door on the hinge for you so that you can love people around you well. We need to be loved well before we can love well. So what does that look like? Or how does that happen? To be loved well? Well, I think this passage gives us some hints there too. And I want to look at just some things that we could spend so much time on, and I wish we had hours to spend on these, because there are, you are going to be, these three things that I'm going to lay out here of what I think it looks like for us to be loved well. And again, remember where we are, and I'm trying to be very clear about this. Love is a foundational thing. If we don't love, if we're not motivated by love, if we're not loving, becoming a strong Christian just isn't going to happen. Or it's not going to be powerful. It's not going to be what we want it to be. Love is foundational. But love comes first from being loved by God. I can't love well unless I'm being loved well. So how do we be loved well? How do we live our lives in such a way that I'm really, on a daily, regular, growing basis, being loved by God? These three things that I'm going to say, these are a lifetime in learning and deepening in. We can learn them, but we deepen and we grow in these things. And I pray, what I pray is that you would leave today with not all of the answers, but a hunger to go and let God give you the answers so that you can be learning and growing in this more and more every day. But I do want to lay out what I see as three things you hear in 1 John chapter 4. Three ways that it looks if you want to be loved by God well. Here's the first one. Love, being loved by God starts with salvation. In verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world. Here a little while later, he says, and we have seen and testified that God has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. It says a little while later that Jesus came to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Here's the beginning of you being loved well by God. You have to let him save you. This verse in Romans, I think, explains it well, and I like this. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What does that mean? It means this, that the whole point of God's interacting with you and I is to have a relationship with us. God's desire is for you to know him, for you to be close to him, for you to have a growing, committed, deepening, intimate relationship with him. That's why God made you and I. That's been God's purpose from the beginning. He wants to know you and he wants you to know him. It's a relational thing. That's God's desire. Is for you to have a relationship with him. But sin is a relationship killer, and you and I have chosen to become sinners. We have the sin gene in us. If God is the loving DNA, we have the sinful DNA in us. Adam and Eve sinned, and it has passed down to us. And we sin against God, and sin is an ugly, destructive, provocative, disgusting thing. And I'm not trying to be over the top here, but the reality is that sin is not, oh, I did something wrong. Sin is me turning my back on God and provoking him to his very face and doing the thing that breaks his heart right in front of him again and again and again. And that's how you and I live our lives. I am a sinful man, but God loves so much that he completely, sacrificially chose to pay the penalty for my sins while I was still provoking him to his very face, while my back was still turned on him. Understand, God didn't come pay the penalty for your sins because you said, you know what, I'm a mess, God, and I need help. No, he came and paid the penalty for your sins when we were still running away from him as hard as we could. When we were still provoking him, it says in the Bible, to his very face. This is completely sacrificial, absolutely unconditional love. That God loved you so much that he was willing to pay everything on the chance that you would turn around. Before you turned around. Before you became anything that you and I would say is worth dying for, God died for us. See, that's the beginning. That is the absolute beginning of love. And the only way for me to enter that love is to accept it. I cannot earn it. I cannot do anything other than say, I don't deserve this at all. I deserve nothing from you. But I see what you did. And I believe that I can say, yes, Jesus, pay the penalty for my sins. And you will wash me clean and you will bring me home. That's the beginning of love. And gang, until we do that, until we accept that sacrificial love, nothing else happens. That's the beginning. What does it mean to be loved well by God? Well, the first thing that it means is I will humbly allow God to save me because he loves me. I can't earn it. I can't win it. I just accept it. That's the beginning of love. That completely sacrificial, absolutely unconditional love that God showed me when Christ came to pay the penalty for my sins while my back was still turned, while the sin was still dripping from my face, while I was entering headlong into sinful thoughts and activities, God died for me. And if I turn and accept that, he says, I've washed you clean. I've made you whiter than snow. I have taken away your sin. I've paid the penalty to set you free, and I become a different person. That's how we talked earlier about how he said it's like we're being born into a family. That little baby is born, and suddenly they're there, and they're part of the family. That's the beginning of love. But then there's more to it. Once I accept that payment, once I'm saved, well, then I learn to be loved by God well in some other ways. And here's one of them. I learn to live in his presence. I learn what it's like to live my life close to God. And here in verse 13 of 1 John 4, it says, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. In other words, he's saying, look, I saved you not to set you on a shelf, not to cry, you know, check that box off the list. I saved you not to stand back and see what you're going to do now. God says, I saved you to do what? To be with you. Because remember, that was the whole point in the beginning. God wants to be with you. He longs for relationship. He wants you to experience him as a father. He wants you to experience him as a friend. He wants you to experience him as a husband, as a wife. He wants you to experience him in all of these different ways, as a good master, as a leader. God wants to know you. He wants you to know him. And so he saved us for closeness. He saved us and then he came to be with us. God did not save us and then stay far away. Here in John chapter, this verse here in John chapter 14, I like this because Jesus says what's going to happen if we accept God, if we become saved, if we accept that salvation. He says this, my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. I'm moving in. I'm moving in, says God. I'm going to come and I'm going to live with you. And what that means is I'm going to be with you, close to you every day, every single day. And in 1 John chapter 4 there, it says, you know, no one has seen God, and yet we know that he's close to us. Why? Well, because we feel and experience and see his love for us. God's desire for you, and so much of learning how to be loved well by God, is to live in constant closeness, to learn what it's like to live your life day by day in God's presence. Now, there's all kinds of ways that that plays itself out. I want to talk about just one very, very briefly, and that's this. What is, I would say, the foundational, you might say one of the foundational components of a relationship? And maybe I'll put it this way. If you spend the entire day with somebody, with them, what's one thing that's going to happen for sure? You're going to talk to each other. It would be very odd if you spent the entire day with someone and never said anything to them. It would be odder yet if you spent 6 weeks with them and never said anything to them. It would be exceedingly odd if you lived with someone for 2 years and talked to them every third month. Not a normal thing. God says, I have moved in. I am living with you. I am right with you now. One of the best ways that you and I can experience that is to talk to him. Have a conversation with God. Learn to have conversations with God. And you know what I'm going to say next if you've been here more than two or three times. What am I going to say? What am I going to say? Read the Bible and pray. See, you read this book, God speaks to you. Yes, God speaks in nature, but you won't know what he's saying if you're not reading this book. Yes, God speaks through music, but you won't understand what he's saying if you're not reading this book. Yes, God speaks to your heart. You won't know what he's saying if you're not reading this book. This is the beginning of hearing God's voice. God is standing next to you. If you have accepted Christ, he is standing by your side. When you wake up in the morning, he's right there. And he's with you every second, every step. He is right by you. That's what he says. He's moved in. He made his home with you. This God loves you so much. He came to live with you. And he says to you, I want to talk to you. But you have to read this book to understand what he's saying. People, there, if you want to be a strong Christian and you're not reading this book, it is not going to happen. It will not happen. You know why? Because you're not communicating with God. And if you're not communicating with God, you are not experiencing his love. And if you are not experiencing his love, you're not going to be able to love well. And if you're not loving well, you're not going to be able to be a strong Christian. You have to read the book. God's Spirit is here, and it speaks to your spirit. And then you talk, you pray, learn to pray. If people think you're strange for walking around talking to nobody, fine. You pray. You pray in the morning. You pray in the afternoon. David in Psalm said, evening and morning and afternoon I pray and cry aloud and you'll hear my voice. I love that. Evening, morning, and afternoon I'm going to pray and I'm going to shout and you're going to hear me. It's really no more complicated than that. Communicating with God is, I'm going to open my mouth to speak to him and I'm going to open my eyes and my ears to read your book and to hear from you. As I communicate with God, what happens? I begin to feel and see and experience his closeness on a regular basis. So much of learning to be loved well is learning to recognize and feel and hear and interact with God on a very daily basis. But there's one more part to it here. One more thing, I think, that it looks like. And that's this. It's not just learning to be in his presence, but it's learning to be comfortable in his presence. Learning to live comfortably in God's presence. And in verses 17 and 18 here in 1 John chapter 4, it says, I'll read verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Sometimes we think, I don't know if God wants to talk to me right now. Sometimes we think, I'm pretty sure I don't want to talk to God right now because of what I've been doing, because of what's been going through my mind, because it's been so long since I spent any time with him. I feel funny. I'm not sure that this is God's going to, I don't know what kind of reception I'm going to get from God. I'm not sure I want to go there at all. Or when I'm there, I'm kind of edgy and antsy, you know? I feel like I'm in the principal's office or I'm, you know, this is just a little bit uncomfortable. Part of this, kind of the last step perhaps, of really learning to live well, to be loved well by God so that I can love well, is learning to be in God's presence but be there comfortably. I'm with you all day long and I'm more and more and more comfortable there in your presence. There's no drama here. There's no condemnation here. Sometimes there's correction because as a good father, that's what he'll do. Sometimes there's praise because as a good master, as a good boss, that's what he'll do. Sometimes there's just an arm around the shoulder because as a good friend, that's what he'll do. It looks like all kinds of different things, but whatever it looks like, whatever you're doing, I'm comfortable here. I'm okay with it. I'm confident here in your presence. I think that's important. And I want to just share perhaps one way that you can grow in that. There's lots of ways you can grow in it. Here's one. Go to God when you're unsure whether either of you want to be there. I want to say that again. Practice going to God. Practice talking to God and listening to God when you're unsure whether he wants you to be there or where you're unsure whether you want to be there or not. And oftentimes what that looks like is I've just done something bad. I learned an incredibly powerful lesson that when I was struggling with an addictive sin and I would fail in that sin for the 50th time that month, I would go to God the second that sin had happened, and I would sit down and I would talk to God. And I discovered that Proverbs 28:13 is true. It says this, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. What I found in God's presence was love and mercy. When I wasn't sure if he'd want me to be there, when I wasn't sure if I wanted to be there, I went anyhow. And it convinced me God loves me. You go to God when you're not sure whether you want to be there. You go to God when you're not sure whether he wants you to be there, and you'll discover love from your Father, and you will grow in being comfortable. I'm going to bring the band up here as I close, and my prayer, guys, is that you and I would learn how to be loved well by God. Because if we learn to be loved well by God, here's what will happen. I'll love because God first loved me. I will learn, you will learn how to love well in this world. And as we do that, what happens? Well, we become those strong Christians. The door opens up. I become a different man. You become a different man and woman. I pray that happens. Lord, I just ask you to make that true, that we would learn more and more and more, Lord, how to be loving men and women. But God, I believe that comes only as your love is poured into me, into us. So teach us to be loved well so that we can love well in this world. We ask you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.